Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 202.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 202. Wow, that's awesome, 202. My name is Brendan Lowe. I'm your host as always. Thank you so much for joining us today. We got a really fun episode that's happening today on improvising polyphonic lines. And so a lot of times, pianists, we often imitate voice or horn, you know, with one note lines, right? Moving back and forth, and that's kind of where our mind goes to. And, you know, that's, you know, it's very common. You hear a lot of pianists and they're playing single note lines. But what we're going to be talking about today is playing multiple lines, right? Playing lines with one, two, three, four, five, all the way up to six notes. How do you include harmonies, chords, things like that, that the piano allows us to do? Because on a lot of instruments, you know, voice, trumpet, things like that, sax, you can only play one note at a time. And so as a pianist, we have a really cool ability to make use of everything that the piano provides for us, right? All the notes are laid out in front of us, and we can do so many amazing things, create so many amazing textures with the piano, with everything that it allows us to do. So it's going to be a really fun episode. We're going to bring that to you in just a second. I just want to say one quick thing. And again, definitely go check out episode number 200, which released two podcasts ago. The great Emmett Cohen did a guest appearance on our podcast, and I know I talked about this last week, but I gotta keep plugging this because it's so awesome. And he did an analysis of his own video, and his playing is fantastic. So definitely go check that out. Podcast 200. You can go to jazzpianoschool.com to check out the all of our free education. The other amazing thing is we're getting so close to opening enrollment to Jazz Piano School, and it's been about like 8 months we've been closed. And the reason for that is because I really wanted to build a more stable platform and make some improvements, upgrades to the website, and design features so that it was just, you know, I always want Jazz Piano School to be the best. And I have this really grandiose ultimate vision about it, about helping people, helping, you know, thousands of people all over the world, which we have done already, but I just want to continue to do that. I want to continue to be in schools, be in more schools, high schools, colleges, especially now in these pressing times of COVID, right? This education is needed in so many different ways for kids at home, for students at home, for adults at home, for everybody, right? And so I'm super excited. The platform, the release should be open probably mid-August. And I'm going to have a date here really, really soon in the upcoming weeks for you guys to mark in your calendar, right, for when the open enrollment period will be. And it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be awesome. You guys are going to love the new site. I'm going to send out a lot of different teasers on, you know, what we've improved, upgraded, and everything like that. So I'm super excited. I know I've been saying this for a long time, and trust me, like, I'm paying the most out of everybody, because I'm like, I need this to be finished. Come on. There's just so, right, from like Predator, come on, do it, come on. Sorry, that was my Arnold impersonation for you. But there's so much to do. We had to transfer all of the materials over to this new software that we're using, plugin kind of thing, learning management plugin, and it's going to be so great. And the things we're going to be doing with it, it's so awesome. I just can't wait. So, be on the lookout for that. Definitely get on our email list. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast200. You should definitely do that anyway. Download the PDF, the free PDF that we have, we're giving away. It's all of our podcast practice materials bundled into one that we've ever published. And so you definitely want to get that. When you download that, you'll get on our email list. and you'll get updates and notes and all that good stuff about the opening enrollment, and you'll get all of access to all of our content as well. So with that being said, let's dive right into this episode. Here we go.
What's up, guys? This is Trent with the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about using more than one note at a time while soloing. So often, we're really focused on our single note lines, as we should be, because that's kind of the essence of the flow of improv. But as pianists, we can do so many other things, and that kind of separates us from a lot of other jazz instruments. Oftentimes, we try to emulate other jazz instruments, primarily the voice, but then there's the other instruments, saxophone, trumpet, all that stuff. And imitating them brings out really unique sounds out of the piano, but at the same time, I think it's really important to fully explore what the piano can do in terms of polyphonic textures when improvising. So we're going to take a look at just a couple ways we can do that. I'm working through this on the tune On Green Dolphin Street. And I'm doing it in E-flat. So we're going to start out just over the first chord, the E-flat major chord, and look at how we can use some different textures with different amounts of notes. The first level is just your single note line, playing one note at a time. From there, we begin to add notes. The next level would be two notes. And this brings a whole series of complexities, such as all the different intervals you can use. First, you can explore the interval of a second and really get those sounds into your ears. Some of them might sound a little dissonant, but it's important to get used to them so you know. Once you get a feel for it, you want to start mixing them in with single note lines. So interesting stuff can happen there. And then what you can do is kind of take that through the whole tune and kind of go chord by chord or progression by progression when there's a couple chords in a row that you really want to get the flow of them, and practice those seconds all the way through. So next we would practice it over the E flat minor chord. So like, that was using the Dorian mode. You can also use this major seventh here, which is really nice. Oh, sorry. Those are thirds. We'll get to that in a second. Seconds, you can still do it, though. So mixed in with single note lines, it's like, interesting stuff. Then you go on to combining the chords together, so the E flat major to the minor. Kind of hard to hold myself back from playing thirds, but that's what we're going to do next. And so you want to kind of go through the whole tune, through all the different progressions, just primarily using seconds and thirds and fourths and fifths and sixth and sevenths. So as you can see, you can spend a long time doing each of those intervals on every chord, but it'll really open you up to new sounds. And that's just two notes. Next, you're going to look at three notes. So let's kind of move forward in the tune and move to that, the F, or I guess it's F over E flat, and the E, and then the E flat, that kind of descending half step motion. So basically you can just pick any three notes of the mode. And for this F, sometimes I like to play a dominant chord, so sometimes I like to play F mixolydian, and sometimes I like to play the major seventh in there. It just depends on what's going on. So I'll be kind of mixing both of those, but you just want to mess around with different groups of three notes first. A lot of triad movement that you could use, but it doesn't have to be just triads. You can get some clusters in there. And I really challenge you to kind of try to break some boundaries of what your standard go-to, whatever you think three notes might be. So all together, really slow from the beginning. Section. Let's take that next session, that C7 going to the F minor. Often I like to use the half whole diminished scale there, so leading to the F minor. So now we're on to four notes. So we're going to try to find some groups of four notes that sound good over that C chord using that half whole diminished scale. So I can pick any note out of here. That's the first one that comes to me. And then I'm just playing the shells in the left hand. So it sounds like this nice, crazy full chord. Well, it is a nice, crazy full chord. But I'm just thinking of playing four notes in the scale in the right hand and just my regular voicings in the left hand. If we move everything up one scale degree, we get this. Very unique sound. Keep going up. Very unique stuff. So to play it in context of that whole thing, it might sound like this. Maybe like this. I was just kind of keeping going there. But you get the point. One, two, three, four, even five notes. Let's try five notes on that. 2-5 and G flat. So this is kind of what I naturally play chord voicing. If I throw in another note there, I've got my five. Maybe I can make it a tritone or even. And then getting really crunchy here. That's six notes. I don't know if I'll... Alright, I'll try. I'll try six notes. Here we go. That means with your thumb, you've basically got to play two, and then every other finger has to have one. Whoa, that's only five. Ooh, this is hard. You know, I'm not going to do six notes right now. That would take some time to think. But as you can see, it forces you to create sounds that you would not naturally play. And it's really fun, and it sounds different because sometimes it can get kind of boring doing the same stuff over and over again. Also, once you start playing more notes at one time, you can kind of flip it around, actually, and think of them as groups of notes, but play them broken up. So for example, fourths are really nice that way. So instead of playing them together, you can be like, that's great for chromatic stuff. And now you're actually playing, you know, single note lines again, but you're thinking from a intervallic perspective rather than a linear perspective. And when those two get kind of mixed together through the course of a solo, it's really, really cool. Especially that five note thing. Like, instead of playing that, you can play any of these five notes in any order. So that whole time, I wasn't thinking of lines. I was thinking of, three, four, five notes to a chord, and then just playing them as if my hand was a drummer. And the five notes that I've selected here are my different choices of drums. Chick Corea talks about that. He calls it like 10 drummers, where each of his fingers is like a tool to hit the drum. And that's a really cool way to think of soloing too. You could get both hands into that. But yeah, I think that you'll really enjoy thinking from this perspective, and I think it'll open up some new ideas to you. And with that being said, I guess I'll take it out by just playing a little bit, using these concepts. All right, there you have it. Practice your lines with a bunch of different notes at the same time, and you're going to love it. It's going to be fun. It'll challenge you, and it'll open you to new ideas. Happy practicing.